Well, good morning, United. My name is Tim Wolf, and I'm the lead pastor here at United Church. We are all about helping people connect to God, and so I hope your experience this morning here helps you connect to God. And this month, in the month of March, is the month of fours. So Lee already talked about four-leaf clovers and St. Patrick's Day. We're in this series called Four, but there's also something else coming up this week about fours. It's the Final Four, the road to the Final Four, or March Madness. Does anybody here like March Madness? One person. Awesome. So, well, we did a little NBA fun when there was the All-Star weekend a couple weeks ago. And so I wanted to see like what our aptitude of basketball was, because that didn't go over so well. Most people weren't really excited about the NBA. And so I was curious, we're a new church in the community, learning one another. What's our aptitude of basketball? So raise your hand if you know what basketball is. All right, good. That was a softball, so don't want to confuse sports, but so that was easy answer. All right, so we know what basketball is. How about raise your hand if you've ever viewed a basketball game? All right, so almost everybody here has viewed a basketball game. Make a shooting motion if you've ever shot a basketball. All right, everybody here has shot a basketball. That's awesome. You guys are doing a great job. How about put both hands in the air if you've ever played a basketball game? All right, most of us play basketball. We're amazing basketball players here. All right, now cheer if you've been to a basketball game. Give me a cheer. All right, so, and now raise your hand if you've ever participated in a Final Four bracket. So raise your hand if you've ever participated in a Final Four bracket. All right, a handful of people. Awesome. So the bracket looks like this. We have a picture for you if you don't know what I'm talking about. This week, today, there'll be 64 teams chosen to be part of the March Madness Road to the Final Four. They're college basketball teams. And what you do if you've participated in a bracket before, you pick who you think is going to win all the way to the Final Four and the championship. Now, the reason I bring that up is my family and I have done that. So you would never guess that we were a basketball family. One, based on our height. Two, we don't watch basketball at all. We don't watch the NBA. But when March comes, you would think we were a basketball family. And it's only because of this. It's because we as a family each have our own bracket that we fill out, and we get competitive with one another about teams we've never watched before, but we only watch them in March. And we want to invite you with us to kind of pick out your teams that you might think would win. You'd be like, there's no way. I'm not really interested in college basketball. You don't have to be interested in college basketball at all. I had a friend who participated in the bracket before, and she only voted on who she would think would win based on the mascot of the team. And so she would like figure out what the mascot was and pick her favorite mascot all the way to the championship. And she actually did better than people that actually knew a thing about college basketball. And so this is why I would invite you all in to participate with United Church. There's going to be a link if you go onto our website or social media. We have Instagram and Facebook. You can find a link there and you can get online and you can make your picks and selections to participate on United's Road to the Final Four. And we have a prize for the person that wins at the Final Four. So we'll send an email link as well to you. If we have your email address, we'll just shoot you a quick email giving you that link, and we'll have a prize for the winner at the very end. But this week, we're not talking about the Final Four. We're not talking about St. Patrick's Day Four. We're talking about a four spelled another way, F-O-R. And last week, if you were with us, I left you hanging with some pretty big news at United. I said that we were going to announce a new environment. And our setup team that comes and sets up every morning, they show up here at like 6:30 in the morning and set things up. They were really excited. A new environment? Does that mean we won't have to set up anymore? Where are we going to be meeting? Because we've met as a church that's new in this community a couple different places, not just here, but we've gotten snowed out. Or because of cancellations here at Owings Mills High School, we've gone to Bill Bateman's and had breakfast and church together. We've gone to the movie theater and done church in the movies. And so as people are wondering, are we going to go to those places? Churches meet at different times too, not just Sunday morning, but Thursday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night are different times that churches have met that I see. And some people are wondering, are we getting a building? And so 5 months in, like, hey, are we buying a building? Not quite, not any of those. But it's interesting to me that when we think about church, we think about a place. And we think about going to a certain place at a specific time. And a close friend of ours even thinks that as well. And so when I go to Google, and you and I are friends with Google, right? And so we go on Google and we type in famous churches or church, images of buildings come up. And so see if you recognize any of these buildings, because these are the top famous churches in our world. And so this first one is the Notre Dame Cathedral. Does anybody know where Notre Dame Cathedral is located? Yeah, Paris, France. And so this is a church that's in France. How about recognize where this one might be located? St. Basil's Cathedral. So just based on architecture, anyone take a guess? Shout it out. Russia. Yeah, you got it. Mother Russia there. And so that is a large church in the country of Russia started by Ivan the Terrible. Now, I am not Tim the Terrible, thankfully, but I've never thought of a terrible person starting a church, but a terrible person started that church. So usually I think good people start churches. How about this church we have? It's called Sagrada Familia. Does anybody want to, based on the pronunciation of that, guess where that's at?
Spain.
Yeah, in Spain, Barcelona, Spain. It's actually a church that started being built in 1882, and it's still incomplete. So I talk about a long construction project. I mean, the construction manager got fired. You know, they couldn't live that long, 135 years. So that church. And then we got St. Peter's Basilica. This is the biggest church in the world. Does anybody know where St. Peter's Basilica is at? Is that Rome, Italy? Yeah, the Vatican City there. And then this Westminster Abbey, you guys know, is in London, England. This last picture we have for you is the Hagia Sophia. The Hagia Sophia is a church that's in Turkey. It has been turned into a mosque. And now it's turned into a museum. And not only that church, but all these churches, almost all of them, have been turned into museums or monuments. See, there's church buildings that are incredible church buildings around the world. But here's the thing, they're just buildings. They're not churches. In fact, Jesus would even say, they're not churches. That's not what Jesus ever meant when he said, you will build the church. He only talked about the church two times that's recorded in the Bible. And both of the two times that he talked about it, he never talked about a building. He never talked about a place. What Jesus was talking about was a group of people that would follow him and they would gather together. And so church is not a building, but it's a group of people that are moving in that direction, following Jesus together and wanting to invite other people in. And it's not a group of people that need a building. We don't need a set time or place. We don't need electricity or technology. We just need Jesus to be a church. And we started talking about this last week, saying that even though Jesus was here physically on this earth, and he died, he was raised from the dead, and he ascended back into heaven, there's still a physical representation of Jesus in this world. Because he told his followers that they would be called the body of Christ. And his followers, they called one another the body of Christ. So even though Jesus is gone, Jesus still exists through his followers today, because the body of Christ is an image or a metaphor for what the church is. It's to show the love of God to the world. And that's what this series is all about. It's all about this group of people called the church, showing the love of Christ to the world. And we laid out this phrase that is the phrase for both weeks. So this is part two of a two-part series called Four. Next week, we're kicking off Skeptics Wanted. But the phrase has been, people will come to know that God is for them when they see that we are for them. And so when people see that the church is for them, they can also see that God is for them. We're going to kind of pick up where we left off last week, because we started in this story called The Good Samaritan. It's a story about this guy who was jumped and mugged on the side of the street, and he was left there for dead. And three characters walk by him. It's a really simple story, and Jesus tells this story to a religious leader of the day who's trying to figure out, who are the people that I'm supposed to love in my life? And he talks about how three different men walk by this individual who was just jumped. And the first two are religious leaders in their community. And they walk by this man and they don't pay him any attention. They walk around him to the other side of the road and keep going on their way. And the third guy that comes is called a Samaritan. And a Samaritan would have been viewed as an enemy or somebody who was despised by a religious leader of that day. And the Samaritan is the one that actually reaches out to this man that was mugged, helps him out, is selfless, is generous, has compassion, and helps him out. So we're not going to reteach that message, but today's part two of that. And this message was just supposed to be one that we've just divided into two for the sake of time. And you can listen to that part one from last week online. But the point that Jesus was making essentially is he was asking this religious leader who didn't want to love Samaritans, who do you think was the one that loved his neighbor? And the religious leader had to answer Jesus and say, well, the one that showed him mercy, the Samaritan. And Jesus is making the point that we're to love the people that are hard to love. We're to love the people in our lives, all people. Loving our neighbor isn't just the people that are easy to love, but it's everybody who's in our life. And that's the story, and that's the why behind this whole series called Four. It's the why behind what we do. And this week, we're going to be specifically talking about the what. What does this look like? And if this is your first time at United, this is not a normal Sunday in terms of what we'll be teaching, but it's a great peek into what we're about and what makes us tick, because it's almost like thinking about pulling up the hood of a car and looking at the engine and seeing how it's wired and how it runs. And that's what we're doing this morning. It's almost like a family meeting, except that United, everybody's family. Everybody's welcome in to the family. And so we're going to be talking about what does it mean to be for our community. And so being for a community happens this way. And so we have this statement for you on the screen. It says, being for people in our community is about who we are when we gather and who we are when we go. It's not about a building. It's not about a place to meet or a time that we meet. It's all about who we are. It's who we are when we do meet, but it's also who we are when we go our separate ways outside of this time. And so far at United, we spent a lot of time here as a church that's just starting in the community, focusing on Sunday mornings and getting a Sunday service going. It's really important as a church to have that one main meeting during the week where we do gather. And it is important to gather. That's what the meaning of church is, a gathering of people together. But that's not the only thing Jesus had in mind when he talked about gathering. And we talked about the church. He also had another word. And there's four different guys that write a biography of Jesus in the Bible. Their names are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they're also referred to as the gospel writers and writers of the gospels of the Bible. And these men write an account of Jesus' life. And at the end of Jesus' life, they write an account of Jesus' last words. And so I want to read those words to you this morning. The first one is Matthew. And these are the last words that Jesus shared with Matthew and his disciples, where Jesus said this to them. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. And so we have had an urgency to gather, but when we think about the words of Jesus, we also see that he's an urgency to go. He says very clearly, go and make disciples, meaning other people that you guys have followed me. Now go tell other people about me and tell them to follow me as well. And to teach them all that I have commanded you to do, teach them the same thing. Luke, another one of the gospel writers, he wrote two books of the Bible. One is called Luke after himself, and then the other is called Acts. And in Acts, he shares the last words of Christ, probably the same opportunity that Luke and some of the disciples had here. But Jesus is phrasing it a different way, where he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So Jesus is telling his disciples not only to go and make disciples, but also giving them an illustration that you've witnessed who I am. You've lived with me. You've walked with me. You know who I am. And now you can tell other people that don't have the opportunity to know me in the same way to witness to them, meaning to bear testimony to what you've seen and experienced. And so today in our world, we know this language. A witness is called to the witness stand in the court of law to be able to testify to what they've seen and heard. And that's essentially the same thing that Jesus is doing here. And he's telling his followers to go and tell other people about their experience with him. And the thing about these last words with Jesus Christ is he never said, go start a church service. He never said, go build a building. He never said, go meet at a certain place. He said, go tell people about me. And there is an urgency for us as a church as we look, pick up this hood, so to speak, this morning, not just to gather and to invite people in, but also to go and to be an important part of our community, to make this community a better community and to introduce people to God here. And so there's an urgency of how we help people connect to God. And so we need to go invite people, because people will not gather to learn about Jesus until they're invited in. And they're not going to know to be invited. They're not going to know that they're invited unless somebody goes and tells them and invites them in themselves. And so, you know, in our culture that we live in, a lot of people don't really think about God until a crisis happens, until maybe a catastrophe or disaster. There's a huge disaster in our church just this past week where we lost somebody this past week. It's the first death of United Church where somebody died physically on this earth, but eternally is now with God. And so there's a great sorrow that we've experienced this past week. It's a different feel this morning here at United. And there's a huge sadness and a gap from a man that we loved and respected. And his life is being celebrated today and tomorrow. And so that affects us. that has an impact on us as we gather and go. But it's in moments like that where some of his extended family that doesn't follow Jesus is turning to God now, saying, pray for us, pray for our family. But they weren't asking for prayer a week ago. So he was, and his family was, it's part of this church. But there's other extended family that hadn't been. There's other family and friends that are in their life that are now praying because a disaster happened, a catastrophe of sorts. See, we want to go when there's not a disaster. We're not a disaster response church. We're a church that's proactive because God wants to be acknowledged in worship every day of the week, every week of the year, and every year that we are able to live on this earth. And so when we think about this going sense, there's a graphic and an image that we have that has this gather and go. We think about the two working hand in hand. And we go and we send out mailers, we do invitations, and we invite friends in because, and if we don't do that, God will not be on their radar. And so we view our job as just putting God on people's radar. And we don't want to just be passionate about gathering together. This Good Samaritan story that Jesus told, see, the religious leaders that walked by the man that was jumped, they were really excited about gathering. They were excited about the rules and the laws of the Jewish faith. But Jesus isn't telling us, he's not telling that story just to be excited about that, because we can be just like them if all we do is show up and sit and warm a seat on a Sunday morning. And we don't ever tell other people that God is for them. And so we want to talk about what it looks like to be for people. We invited you last week, if you were here, into a journey with United Church. Be part of a community that's going to be known by being for others. Because the church in this world and culture that we live in is not known by that. It's known as a place that's against other people and against certain groups of people. And just when we read about the Jesus of the Bible and the God of the Bible, we don't see that at all. We see a God that's for us. And we're seeking to be people and a church that's for others. And so there's four ways that we want to hold out. So as we pick up this hood, there's four things that we want to talk through this morning, the ways that we're going to be for this community. And last week we talked about being for people. So all of us know people in our life that don't know that God is for them. They have a different view of God. They don't worship God. And we want to be for them. We want to show them that God is a God that's for them. We want to get God on their radar in a good way. And so we encourage each person to think of four people in their life that don't know God and aren't going or connecting to any church. And just to start praying for those four. And so the first step that we told you last week, and we'll start with this week, is to pray for them. And we gave you a magnet. If you didn't get that magnet, there's a magnet on your way out that you can pick up and just throw it on your refrigerator. And the reason you want to put it on your refrigerator is because you open it every day. As you walk into your kitchen every day, and that magnet can be a reminder for all of us that want to be known by being what we're for instead of what we're against, to pray for four people to also know God that way. And so that magnet could be that great reminder for you. We talked about a prayer meeting that we're going to be starting next week as a church, 8:30 every Sunday morning. We're going to start praying together. But this morning, what I want to talk about, so I'm not going to just re-talk about everything we gathered and talked about last week. I want to share two specific things that we're praying for, not just individually as we pray for people, but goals that we have as a church. Things that we're really excited about, things that are intimidating, but things that we're excited about how we think can help us be a church that's for this community. And the first thing that I want to tell you to pray for and ask you if you could pray for with us is a permanent space. So a permanent space by 2019. This is not the new environment. So if you're here last week and you're coming, oh, what's the new environment that's being launched at United? It's not this, because this isn't coming for some time. But we're thinking permanent space in end of 2019. And the tagline for that is in our community for our community. We're not looking to build another church building, but we're looking to see, is there a space in this community that we can help establish as a place that is going to be known by serving the needs of this community. And so we're starting a process to learn from leaders in this community of what needs exist. We've been doing that since moving in, but we're continuing that conversation. And so if there was going to be a space that was going to help out people that live in Owings Mills, Reisterstown, what would that space do? What needs could it meet? And that's what we're going to be doing. And we're going to be studying that. We're going to be praying about that. But we also need to pray for God to provide for that. And just to make that space clear to us, where is it and what can we be doing? Provide financially for us as well. We're not at a place financially we could afford that. And so just be praying for those things. We're holding these things out under this, you know, first of four things to be united for is prayer. And we're holding it out in prayer because these are things we can't do on our own. on our own strength, on our own wisdom, but God can do them because we have a big God who can do great things. And the other request that we're really excited about is called 50-50 by 2020. And so 50-50 by 2020 doesn't mean anything to you yet. It just looks like a number. But this is what it represents. The community that we all live in here in Owings Mills, Reisterstown, 50-50 represents the reality of our community is incredibly diverse. There's no one major race. And there's no one major culture here. And so we want to be a church that reflects that. So 50-50 means that there's not a majority. And so right now, United does feel and look more like a majority white. And so we acknowledge that, we know that, but we're moving in a direction where we don't want that to be true. And we don't want to just look different. We also want to be inclusive, where people feel like, hey, this is a place where I'm included. My culture, my race, whatever it is, that I fit here, that I can see myself here. And so 50-50 by 2020 is a desire for the church to reflect that. Jesus prayed that. He prayed that the church would be one. And so it would just be an answer to his prayer. The reality of the church in America is only 5% of churches meet the criteria to be called a multi-ethnic church, which means that a church just has to have 20% of its congregation be in the minority in order to be multi-ethnic. And so we already are multi-ethnic. We're already in that 5%. But we're not satisfied just to throw that label on because I think that number is really lame. And that number doesn't really represent the kingdom of heaven on earth. And so 50-50 represents this community and the great opportunity we have as followers of Jesus to be united around him, even with the differences of cultures and colors of our skin and so forth, that we could be united around Jesus Christ. And so that's something we want to pray for. That's something we're being really intentional about. And I know these are really ambitious goals. So we just hold up two goals to permanent space and this 50-50 by 2020 goals. But we're praying to God who can do this work, things that we can't do on our own. And we want to invite you to be part of that, be part of the solution to this as well. So the first thing is pray. Say that out loud with me, nice and loud. One, two, three.
Pray.
Pray. Awesome. So pray. The second thing we want to invite you into to be united for is invite for. We've got this new series starting called Skeptics Wanted. It's a series that's just designed for the skeptics of the world. And the reality is followers of Jesus and people who don't follow Jesus are all under that label of skeptics. I can be skeptical sometimes. So this is not like, hey, we've got the right answers for you here at United. We're actually inviting people into a conversation of how do we deal with the hard questions of faith and pursuing God and Jesus Christ together through Skeptics Wanted. And on your way out, we're going to give you four invitations. We're going to ask you to invite four. So invite four is the United Four. We just talk about four a lot this month. So there's four people that we want to encourage you to invite out to the beginning of that series that's next week. But we talked about that again last week. So what's new this week is part of helping us stir up this culture of inviting, and that's live streaming services. So next week, one of our United interns has been working on a project to help us get a live stream started by next week. And so next week, we've already kind of dabbled with it. Maybe you've seen our live stream pop up on Facebook a couple times, but next week we're going live with live stream, and it's a way for people to be able to kind of enter into United here. And when I think about live stream, why United, why live stream, how does that fit with inviting people to church? Well, if you've ever gone or been to a mall, I know malls are getting outdated, but when you think of the front window of that store that has a mannequin with the clothing, if it's a clothing store, or the toys, if it's a toy store, it's kind of like window shoppers or just people that walk up and down, you know, the mall, and they look at all the windows. Well, live streaming is like a window shopping experience to be able to get a peek inside of United. The real experience, though, of a window shopper is when they go into the store and they try on clothes or they play with the toys and they buy something and they experience that store. The real experience of United is to come in. It is not just to watch online live, but to come here and experience United truly. But we want to help people see and understand and view our culture through a live stream experience. So it's another way that you can invite people in. And we think about being a church that's united for people by inviting them in. It's inviting them to watch the live stream. It's inviting them here physically. What the win for us is, isn't just like, hey, when somebody comes to United. That's great when somebody comes to United. And it's not if they'd come back a second time. Because if you come back a second time, you get a free t-shirt. We give you a free t-shirt when you come back a second time when you go to the Next Steps area. What the win for us is when you come back and bring somebody with you. And you are really being for people, introducing them to Jesus Christ. Whether that's here at United or even any other church, that's the win. When people who follow Jesus not only go to church, but they start to bring others with them. And that's what we want to be about. So by way of review, so the second thing was invite. The first thing we talked about was what? Pray. And second thing? Invite. So those are two out of our four things to be united for. Our third thing to be united for is for United For. So what this means is you were introduced to Leah, our United For Community Impact Director. And so she leads the charge. But she's not here to do all the community service for United. She's here to mobilize us to say, like, hey, these are great opportunities that exist in our community. Let's rally together and get involved in getting food with the food drive this Saturday. And you can sign up on your welcome card. That's the way that you sign up, is your Connect card there. You sign up for the food drive on that, and that's how you can be for this community. You sign up for the Easter egg hunt and help the Baltimore Humane Society on the Easter egg hunt when they're doing that in a couple of weeks. And so this is not new to us, but again, we want to encourage you to be involved in these United For initiatives and opportunities that we're holding out. And it says for United For because we're saying if everybody who is a part of United, who's here for our first service, the volunteer service, and who's here for this service, was involved in four of these things, we'd have tons of help. We'd have enough help. Maybe like volunteering is like your jam and you love to do that type of thing. Like you can come to every single one. That's totally fine. But if we would encourage everybody just four times, if you could do that in the next year, that would be an awesome way for us to be for our community. And we wear these blue t-shirts when we go out into the community. You might have seen them even this morning or out and about. And it says, we are United For. We wear these t-shirts. You get one of these t-shirts for free when you participate in any of these volunteer opportunities. And it's a great way for us as a church to be in the community, making a difference, going, not just gathering, but going. And we've always asked the question from the very beginning of United Church, before we even started, like if our church ever closed its doors in the future, would we be missed? And I think that every church should say yes, we would be missed. And as our way of doing that, we want to be connecting to the community, making a difference in the community, not just showing to events, but bringing life and energy and joy to different events. We want to be missed because we are for people because God is for them. And that's the greatest connection that we can make. That God is for them. So that's why we go and do some of those United For opportunities. So pray, invite, for United For. And then the fourth thing, this is the new environment that we started talking about. I know it might have been sudden last week if you're with us and we said, hey, we got a new thing coming. And like, what? Hold on a second. We've only been around for 5 months. How are we doing something new? We just started groups, that small groups that people are involved in. But this is a perfect place for you to be United For your four. The four people that you're for is the perfect place for it. It's a place that those four friends or family members are going to be the most loved and cared for. It's open 24/7, and there's a number of locations for them. And it's a table. So now you're like, man, that was really disappointing. I was looking for something a little more exciting, bigger, like a building or something like that. And why a table? Well, just think of the table in your home. Maybe a couple tables, a kitchen table, dining room table, coffee table. Why a table? Because a table represents for each of us some type of comfort, some level of comfort where we relax, where we can talk, we can be known by others and make ourselves known. And the kitchen table is where we have a meal, right? And talk about our day and catch up with one another. A coffee table might be a table where we sit and we relax, unwind, laugh together. And different tables in our homes where we live represent some type of connection and relationship when we're around that table with other people. And so when you think of the four people in your life that you want to be for, and you invite them around that table, that is the great way to connect with them and show them that God is for them by being an encouragement to them, by being a support to them, by cheering them on in life over that table. And then you might say, now, in my home, my table is pretty cluttered. That's not the best place to have somebody over. They're not going to really feel or experience that I'm for them because my table is so messy or whatever the situation. You just don't like having people over your house. Well, then borrow a table. And so I don't mean like bring a table into your home, but go to a Starbucks or a Panera out to lunch or dinner and borrow a table in terms of connecting with somebody over this table concept. And so we want to encourage you to think about table and sharing a meal being for people over conversation and be intentional and available for that. Because what I've noticed in my life is a table represents the breaking down of barriers. As somebody who follows Jesus, all of a sudden, just because of that statement, people make certain stereotypes of who I am, what kind of person I am, what I believe, and how I function. And yet a table has been a place where it's broken down some of those barriers, where people start to see that I'm not perfect, that I don't have my life together. But people wouldn't pick that up just through some of the normal rhythms of life, but they will pick that up through an experience over a meal, where people can hear why the good experience that I've had with God and Jesus in church. And so it's an opportunity to talk about that. So being available and being intentional over this table helps me to tell people that God's for them. So I need to be available, and we need to be available together to be ready to help people know that we're for them. But we need to be intentional, because we talk about United For and community service a lot. The reality is there's a ton of people in our world that do tons of volunteering and community service. So what's different about a church doing it than people that aren't part of a church or don't follow Jesus? Well, we have to then speak on behalf of God. We have to be able to say what the motive of our serving is. It's like, hey, we serve and we love to volunteer because we think about Jesus and what he's done for us. The motive of why we love others is because we know we are greatly loved by God. And to be intentional means to talk about that we're a follower of Christ. If we're truly going to talk to people about who we are, and if we identify as a follower of Jesus Christ, that's the main point of who we are. We find our identity in being a follower of Jesus. And so we want out of the gates for people to know that about us. We want people to be able to hear the positive story, to ask questions, and to understand why people don't follow Jesus and what their beliefs are, not in a debating way. In fact, I don't want you to debate anything with anybody about Christianity. I want you to learn from people. I want for me to learn people's story, why they don't like church, why they're far from God, and understand and empathize and get to learn from those friends. And so I've learned a lot from people that don't follow Jesus about life, but about spirituality as well, and why they don't follow Jesus Christ. And a lot of those things are wrapped up in misconceptions they might have about God. And that's why we're doing this whole series, Skeptics Wanted, next week. Trying to help understand who the Jesus of the Bible is. But be available and be intentional about that. Because people won't come to a correct understanding of Jesus just because we're good people. There's lots of really good people in this world. Jesus came to rescue us and to give us life and to give us an eternity with God. And that's a message that we have to be intentional about talking about. So choosing intentionality and availability, what it does is it creates the possibility for someone's life to be changed for eternity. Bradley Monroe is in heaven this morning celebrating Jesus Christ because he chose to follow Jesus. Somebody told him about Jesus. And he's raised a family that is following Jesus too, and that will see him again one day. There's hope for them. There's celebration that they will have this week. So if you're like, who's Bradley Monroe? He's the man that I talked about earlier that passed away. And so we need to choose intentionality and availability for that hope, for all people, to know God in that way. And so what I'm holding out is not new to this church. So as we look under the hood, many people have heard us talk about this before. Maybe some of the things I'm talking about specifically are new. And it's not even a new way of living. Jesus introduced it to his disciples early on. When I think my wife Maria and I have been married for 16 years, and the first apartment that we lived in was in Perry Hall, Maryland. And when we moved into this apartment, if you've ever lived in an apartment before, it's like a ghost town. It's hard to find people that live in that apartment. But we'd always run into this one neighbor. Her name was Laura. She lived right across the hall from us. It was a little hallway there, and she lived across the hall. And we would always strike up just some short conversation. And we would get to start to pray for Laura because we learned that she didn't go to church. We learned that she didn't believe God existed and that God cared about her, if there was a God and so forth. And so we just started to pray for Laura. Eventually we had Laura over for dinner, a table. So we prayed for her, and then we tabled with her, if you want to call tabling something, and we had a meal over a table. And we just got to know one another, hear each other's story. We didn't preach at her. We just asked her about her background. She asked us about our background and our likes and dislikes and so forth. And we invited her to church, and she didn't come. So it was cool, though. We still continued to see her, and we invited her over. Maria, my wife, got together with her for lunch, and they would hang out, and Maria would invite her to church, and she wouldn't come, but we'd still pray for her, and we'd still table with her. And then we had friends over one night, and we said, hey, why don't you come over and hang out with our friends? Because she was new to the area, and so she came over, and she met all these friends that were from a church. And she started to see that not only Maria and I, we weren't weird, but some of our friends weren't so weird. And like these church people are like, oh, they're normal people just by tabling, right? Just by a meal, a coffee table, where we're laughing, having fun together. We invited her to church again. She didn't come. Totally cool. We still continued to be friends with Laura until one day she made a decision. I want to come check out church with you. Like, we were really excited for her to come to church. And because we believed that the things that we had learned from her, the conceptions and understanding that she had about God and church, weren't accurate of what Jesus' followers truly were. And so when we invited her to church, we were so excited for her to come to experience, meet some of our church friends, to go through a church service, much like this and so forth, until the message came. And it was an hour-long message about money. I was like, oh, of all Sundays in the world to come, talking about money is killer. Like, maybe you're here and you're like, I hate it when they talk about money. That offering envelope came out this morning. You're like cringing. He's like, don't give if that you're cringing. We're not asking for anybody's money this morning. It's just the way that those of us who are behind this mission give. And they talked about money for an hour. We're like, oh, no, she's never going to come back. She's going to, you know, that one little area of the conception that she had about Christianity. She's going to be upset about it or something like that. And we said, hey, what did you think of the morning? And she said, it was great. I'm going to come back next week. Like, whoa. I would not have had that type of experience myself. But apparently, God was doing something else in Laura's heart. And Laura came back next week. And she came up the week after that and the week after that. And she started to come to our small group that met with some of those friends that she was introduced that first night. And so she continued to be at our table. She continued now to come to church with us. And this going and gathering concept was kind of something that Laura was a part of with us as friends. And she was asking questions about Jesus and wanting to learn more, because the Jesus that she was learning about at church and in our small group was totally different than the Jesus that she thought existed in the Bible. And her life was changed by Jesus, and she became a follower of him. And not only did she start to follow him, but right away she started to invite friends along with her. Two of her closest friends were Amy and Luke. And Amy and Luke both came along. Amy really excited, Luke incredibly reluctant, because Luke hated the church. Luke viewed the church as people that were against him, that hated him, that didn't like him. And so he came very cautiously. And I remember him coming and seeing the transformation of just in one night coming to a small group, how he was really reserved to laughing with everybody that was there and seeing that Jesus was for him. And all three of them, in the course of that year, got baptized. And they placed their faith in Jesus Christ and decided to follow him. And it's all because people were praying for them, people were inviting them, people were tabling and building a relationship with them. You see, when you think about the people that you're for, you might think they're not ready to come to church quite yet, and that might be totally true. So just continue to be a great friend that's for them, cheering them on, giving them the right view of God. But all of us definitely have people in our life that we can invite to church next week. And we have a relationship, a friend of some sort that needs to know that God's for them. See, who's your Laura? Who's your Luke and Amy? If you've just started following Jesus, he's like, I need to bring them along and help them to see the God of the Bible, a God that's for them. See, because when people know that the church is for them and see that the church is for them, then they'll know that Jesus is for them. And the greatest thing on this earth is to introduce people to Jesus Christ. I believe that's true. I want to do that in my life. But not only do I want to do that in my life, I want to be a pastor that encourages other people to do that as well. To be a part of a movement of people that are introducing others to Jesus Christ, to see the love and the life that Jesus offers to us. And there's thousands, there's 160,000 people in this 5-mile radius around this school that don't know that God is for them. And we can be the game changer for them. If we pray for them regularly, if we invite them in, if we hang out and table with them. And it's not about like, hey, just like increasing numbers or getting conversions. It's about the God of the Bible, who wrote an amazing story, a beautiful story of redemption and love that he calls all people to be a part of, and inviting them into it. And so whether they follow Jesus here at United, they follow Jesus somewhere else, I don't really care, as long as they follow Jesus. And we have the awesome opportunity to help people follow Jesus. Because when people look at the media, when they read articles in magazines, when they think about the church, most people think the church is against them. And we're trying to change that here at United. We need to see a new generation that emerges and builds the church that is known by what it's for, and experience a God that is for them. So will you join the story of United and be for people? Let's pray.